I've been back home here in the Philippines for about 5 days. When I arrived, a number of people told me that when I left, it was the hot season, and when I arrived, it was the rainy season. And it sure seemed like it for a couple of days, but for the past couple of days, it hasn't been raining and it's been very hot. So last night, one of the men in the choir said, "It seems as if we've gone back to the hot season, we've gone back to summer." Pag-init na ulit. Now, that's the way it is with the weather. Sometimes it's hot in the rainy season, sometimes it rains in the hot season. It comes to mind, though, because we start a new season today in the church, or I should say we begin ordinary time today. The last day of Easter was yesterday, the great solemnity of Pentecost. We were joking in the parish that the reason why it was so hot on Pentecost is because tongues of fire came down and descended on everybody, and we were all hot yesterday. But with the beginning of ordinary time, we also experience some of the glory of Easter spilling over into the season, just like sometimes hot days spill over into the rainy season. And we look forward to this. We know that this upcoming Sunday is the great feast of the Holy Trinity, and the following Sunday we will be celebrating Corpus Christi, and after that the feasts of the Sacred Heart and the Immaculate Heart. This is how we know the liturgical year unfolds. It's not as if everything stops on Pentecost Day and then we have 6 months of nothing. We have 6 months of continued reflection on what has been bestowed on us in abundance in the Lent and Easter season, in fact, in the whole liturgical year. So we have big feast days coming up. In fact, there are many big feast days in the month of June, as you might notice. But we also have today's feast. This is the feast of the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of the Church, which is a new feast. It was only established in 2018 by Pope Francis. So this gives us another opportunity to reflect on what has been revealed to us in Easter, and we reflect on it in light of Mary's role, Mary, Mother of the Church. It's a significant day for anybody who loves the Blessed Virgin Mary, certainly significant for us here in this shrine and in this parish, since this is the parish of Mary, Mother of the Church. This is the patronal feast day of the parish, although the fiesta will be celebrated on this upcoming Sunday. Now, whenever we have a feast in honor of Our Lady, we know, or what comes to mind is some of the objections that people raise, those who are not of our Catholic tradition, those who are Bible Christians, don't see any reason to pay attention to Mary because she doesn't seem to be that significant in the Bible. I'm sure you've had people make this argument to you that what we should do is follow the Bible, and Mary is not very significant in the Bible. She's certainly not portrayed as a queen. She's not portrayed as Mother of the Church or anything like that. She's the mother of Jesus Christ. What those sincere lovers of the Word of God miss is the ongoing development of the Church's understanding of the Word. Jesus said the Word is a seed, and when the seed of the Word is planted in good soil, it grows and bears abundant fruit. So the whole of the Scriptures are a divine seed meant to be planted in our hearts to bear much fruit, 30, 60, and 100-fold. Well, that fruit grows over the years in the hearts of believers. We're not left only with seeds, we're left with deeper and richer understanding of the mysteries of God. And Jesus, when he spoke about the Holy Spirit, said, when the Advocate comes to you, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you into all truth and remind you of all that I told you. So part of the work of the Holy Spirit whom we honored yesterday on the Feast of Pentecost, is to continue to guide us into the fullness of the truth. Implying we're not there yet. We have to keep growing in our appreciation of the mysteries. This feast, I think, is a flowering of that process, of the deepening of the church's understanding of Mary, of Mary's role in the plan of God, Mary's role in the life of the church, and in our own lives. I remember when Pope Francis declared this memorial, this feast day, there was some reaction to it, kind of predictable, I suppose, but those on the conservative end of the spectrum who are critical of Pope Francis, they said, oh, he's throwing us a little treat to placate us because we were so angry at him for his changes. You know, some people are very critical of Pope Francis and his style. And they felt like they were being condescended to, as if like when a thief breaks into a house and gives a treat to the guard dog so that the guard dog won't complain or bark anymore. That's how they complained. They said, well, that's a very skeptical, a very cynical read on this action of the Holy Father. And then there were other people who said, well, this is just Pope Francis's thing. He's a Marian guy. He loves Marian devotions. And so he put this in the church. We already have lots of Marian feasts. Why do we need another one? Again, that's a very cynical and shallow way of interpreting how the church grows in appreciation of the mysteries, and in this case of the Blessed Virgin Mary and her role in the church. This is not just the personal devotion of Pope Francis. If he had started a feast day for Mary Untier of Knots, then we might say, okay, that's Pope Francis's personal devotion, and maybe that's fine for the church, but it isn't that. This title, Mother of the Church, did not originate in the mind of Pope Francis. He didn't pull it out of his personal devotion book and dump it on us. This is grown in the church. And it's Pope Francis is simply acknowledging an appreciation of Mary's role over the years. Mary, who has been acknowledged as Mother of the Church for a long, long time, and officially acknowledged as Mother of the Church way back in the 60s when St. Paul VI declared her Mother of the Church as a kind of a flowering of the Second Vatican Council. So acknowledging Mary as Mother of the Church is part of the growth of the seed of the Word in the heart of the Church. Mary, Mother of God, her oldest title, Mary, Mother of the Church, one of her newest titles. Now, since this comes the day after Pentecost, I think we could also reflect on how the church has appreciated Mary's role from the time of Pentecost. There's another feast, it's not on the calendar, but it's certainly related to this one, Mary, Queen of Apostles, which in the tradition was celebrated on the Saturday after Ascension Thursday. Which makes sense, because after Jesus ascended, the apostles gathered with Mary in prayer. And that's right in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, that the apostles gathered in the upper room together with Mary and some other women. So Mary is there in the midst of the apostles praying for the coming of the Holy Spirit. She's taking on this role of regal authority. She's the one who knows the Holy Spirit better than any of them. She's intimately connected to the Holy Spirit. She's been following the inspirations of the Spirit since, well, she always has been. And she's training the apostles in their ability to welcome this coming gift. So she's Queen of the Apostles. And you've seen, I'm sure, many artworks of Mary in the middle and the apostles all gathered around and the tongues of fire are on all the apostles. So Mary, Queen of the Apostles. Now, when the practice began of shifting the Feast of the Ascension from Thursday to Sunday, it confused people because the Feast of Mary, Queen of the Apostles was Saturday after the Ascension, which would have been the day before. It would have been 2 days after the Ascension. But now that the Ascension got moved to Sunday, the Saturday after the Ascension is the day before Pentecost. So now there's a little bit of confusion. Where does this feast, Queen of the Apostles, come in? It's not that important, but those communities that celebrate her under that title have to make that decision. I know the Pauline communities, you know, the St. Paul Fathers and the Daughters of St. Paul, and that family of Pauline congregations, they have special devotion to Mary, Queen of Apostles. Now, Mother of the Church and Queen of the Apostles are two titles for the same woman doing the same thing, right? Queen of the Apostles, the more regal, kind of royal, a noble title, beautiful. But as St. Augustine said, Mary is more a mother than a queen. And so this title, Mother of the Church, indicates that she's not simply reigning over us, she's also nurturing in us the life of faith. Then there is the title of Mary, also associated with this day, the day after Pentecost, Madonna del Divino Amore. Italians honor her as Madonna del Divino Amore, and you might know that there's a parish in here in this diocese, the newest parish in the diocese, is Madonna del Divino Amore Parish, Mother of Divine Love. In fact, I just learned yesterday, it was, up until yesterday, was a quasi-parish, because it was new, it wasn't fully established. But yesterday, the Bishop Mercado designated it or elevated it to the official status of a parish. It's down, if you go down the Anghari toward Bacoor, you pass by there, South Vale, Ayala South Vale is where that parish is. Now it's not the quasi-parish, it's the parish of Madonna del Divino Amore. Now, why they call it Madonna del Divino Amore and not Mother of Divine Love? Probably because it sounds better in Italian, sounds more beautiful. But it's a celebration or an honoring of Mary, Mother of Divine Love, that she has a maternal role in bringing forth the love of God into the church. And the love of God is the Holy Spirit. Yesterday, that parish celebrated their fiesta. But the traditional feast day of Madonna del Divino Amore is today. In any case, and this is what I'm trying to do here. I'm trying to show this is part of the life of the church. We continue to ponder, we continue to grow, and we appreciate more deeply what God has done and what God is doing. We don't limit God to the past. We don't limit the life of the church to the past. We're not in a museum here. We're in a living family of faith. And today we honor Mary, Mother of the Church. Now the readings, there are many optional readings for this feast, and since it's a new feast, it's not found in any of the official books. But we read here in this Mass that passage in the book of Genesis about the first woman, Eve, and the problem of sin that entered into the world through our first parents. The first woman became, who was designated as Mother of the Living, also became Mother of the Dying, because she opened herself to the tragedy of sin. In the Gospel, we see Jesus on the cross, this is John chapter 19, Jesus who takes on the burden of the dying. Eve became Mother of the Dying. When sin entered the world, all of us were under the curse of death. Jesus, God who became man, took on this curse and dies on the cross in order to save us from this. And at the very moment when he's doing this, his greatest work, he designates his mother as Mother of the Beloved Disciple. You know this famous passage, "Behold your mother." It's said to the Beloved Disciple, but the Beloved Disciple represents all of us. Jesus is saying, this is your mother. This is each of us. This is your mother. He's saying it to the whole church. This is your mother. You are not abandoned. You are given a mother to nurture the life that you're gaining from this cross. The blood and water that flows forth from this cross is ministered to you through this woman, Mary. She's mother of the church. So we see her as mother at the cross, and we see her as mother on Pentecost. Mother of the dying Christ who dies to give us life. She receives that life and nurtures it in others. We see her as mother praying with the apostles, praying with the church, and preparing them for the coming of the Spirit. It's quite a profound role, a unique, privileged, sacred role. And this is why we honor Mary as we do on this feast day. Of course, there's much more we could say, but I'd like to put it in the context of seeing how God continually draws us deeper into his mysteries, into the gift of faith, into the life of the Holy Spirit. Mary is intimately connected to, Mary is has a unique and indispensable role in nurturing in us the life of Jesus Christ, the life of faith, the life of the Spirit in us, the church.